And tonight we're in chapter number 11, Acts chapter 11. We're doing just almost a verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts. We're quickly going through it. It's not really a verse-by-verse. It's pretty much a subject-by-subject of the chapters. And tonight we are, last week we saw and studied where the Apostle Peter had to be taught from the Lord that God is no respecter of persons. And I'm glad tonight our Lord looks at everybody the same way. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what nationality, what race, what language we are. I'm glad the Lord looks at all of us the same way because we are the same. We are all sinners that need the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, knowing the background of the Jew was a very proud people. They were a very prejudiced people. They, of course, had had the oracles of God, they'd had the law of God given to them, they'd had all the privileges of the Lord as a nation. The Jew was a very privileged people, and by the time that Jesus Christ came, and by the time the church is in action here in the early parts of the first century, the Jews were very prejudiced against everyone else and felt as though no one else could come in on their part. And of course, as we study, we find out they were very, very foreign to the things that were true, and had added so many things to the scriptures that what they were doing was nothing near what God wanted them to do. And so, when it came to the Gentiles, they were certainly they called Gentiles those Gentile dogs, and they didn't have any feeling at all for people that were not Jews. And so Peter had to be taught a lesson. We saw that last week, how that he was taught there's no difference. God showed him that by a sheet that came down out of heaven, sort of as a vision. And the Lord told Peter to arise and eat. And Peter said, I've never eaten anything that is unclean. And the Lord said, what I've cleansed, what I've made is not unclean, it's all clean. And the Lord was teaching Peter that the Jew and the Gentile, the Jew was not more blessed and privileged than anyone else. So Peter goes and is called to the house of Cornelius, the Gentile people. And there the Bible tells us the Holy Ghost fell upon them as it had in the book of Acts chapter 2 upon the Jews. And they found that the Lord came to the Gentiles just like he did unto the Jews. And so in chapter 10, Peter learns those things. Now we come to chapter 11. And tonight, in this chapter, we see that these Christian Jews are equally concerned about the Gentiles as Peter was. When they hear about what has happened, they become very concerned, and some of them were very troubled to learn that the Gentile could be saved. And so when we enter into chapter 11, verse number 1, down through verse number 18, we see here that Peter is used once again of the Lord to vindicate and to prove and to give accountability to what has happened. And so there arises a contention in the church. Now, again, we need to remember that the church was a Jewish church. No Gentiles. This was the early church was all Jews. Now, Peter has gone to Cornelius there in Caesarea. Now the Gentiles are entering into fellowship with God. And that has never, as a whole or as a group, had never happened before. And the Bible says in verse number 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest unto men uncircumcised, and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them. So here Peter comes back to Jerusalem. He comes back into the land of Judea. He comes into the Jewish community and land. And there's a contention because Peter, they said Peter sat down and had dinner or eat with those that were not Jews, and what had happened in Cornelius' house spread very quickly. I'm sure the enemies of the gospel helped that spread, as well as the friends of the gospel, and it spread very quickly, and Sometimes enemies and friends of the Lord tell the same story, but for different reasons. And the message now comes to these folks, and they're surprised. To the Jew, it probably seemed that the Lord had betrayed them. The Lord had turned His back upon them, and He has now given the Gentiles, and they have received the Word of God. I'm glad tonight that when you receive the Word of God, things change in your life. And praise the Lord, when we receive God's Word, when the message of the Lord, we have a change that takes place. And so when Peter came, they confront him as he went back to Jerusalem, and they came back, they contended with, they had a temper. They were troubled, they were not happy. And they did not really address the real issue because they focused on Peter. Really, the issue was they were troubled that the gospel had been given to the Gentiles, but they turned their focus upon Peter eating with those that were not Jews. And, you know, sometimes the enemy, sometimes Satan, he never confronts us where the real problem is. A lot of times I've found folks will talk to you about a problem, and they talk about everything else except the problem. They talk around that. And so we find that this is what's taking place here in verse 2 and 3. There's a confrontation. And in verses 4 through 17, we find that Peter rehearses the things that had happened and has rehearsed them and does rehearse them to the people that have confronted him. They are seriously agitated. They are contending with Peter. And so in verses 4 through 17, we find that Peter clarifies, Peter tells him exactly what he saw and those others that were with him. The Bible says that he rehearsed the matter. Not one time did Peter mention him eating with the Gentiles, for he knew that was not the problem. He directs the problem immediately. He rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. He gave it in order just exactly what had happened. And, of course, we went through that last week in chapter number 10. And so we find that he orderly gives them from the beginning. He tells them in verse number 16 that it is a spiritual thing because he says, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said." So we find that Peter refers back to the Scripture. And you and I would learn very well, or we would do well if we would learn that most of the problems that we encounter can be handled with the Scripture. Most of it can be taken care of with the Word of God because this is our final authority. This is our guidebook. And so Peter is talking to these angry Jews, and he tells them, he says, "But I remembered the Word of the Lord." And so how are you going to fight against that? And when Peter is giving them those instructions, remembering the Word of the Lord, he says, "What I had, I remembered from John indeed baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." And so it took place on the day of Pentecost, and now it's taking place in the house of Cornelius, baptized and immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, "These men that accompanied me, they corroborate the words that Peter was saying." Look at verse number 12. He says here, "And the Spirit made me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter.'" And so here we find Peter giving the story, but he said, "I have six witnesses." Now the Scripture says that we are to have in the mouths of two witnesses, two people, because that way you have someone to agree with what you're saying. It's not your word against somebody else's word. But Peter had six men with him that went with him from Jerusalem. We read that last week in chapter 10. He takes those men with him. He goes to Cornelius' house, and this experience happened as he is telling these. And he tells them that they had a vision, and we saw that last week, and the things that had taken place. He says in verse number 11, "And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was sent from Caesarea to me, and the Spirit bade me go with them." And so here we find the communications and the coincidences, and when those things are working together, you see, God does use coincidences, God does use things in our lives to direct our path and to help us in the things of our walk with the Lord. And Peter said, I saw the vision, and as we notice in chapter 10, Cornelius had a vision, and they were working together to get these two men come together that, as we mentioned, would not normally happen. That just would not take place without the circumstances and the coincidences from the Lord and the coming of the Holy Spirit unto them. Verse number 15, he says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning." And so we find Peter is giving the message. He says, everything that happened to us at the beginning. Now, that little phrase, at the beginning, goes back to the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God fell upon the church there. And so Peter is telling these angry Jews, these contentious Christian Jews, that what had happened in Cornelius' house was the same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost, to make them understand, make them know that the gospel was to all the world. You see, the commission that Jesus gave to the disciples was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, Jesus did not say to all the world of the Jews. He said all the world. Everybody, to go to every place preaching the gospel. He says, "Ye shall be witnesses of me both in Judea and Jerusalem and Samaria." Now, Samaria was a very contentious place to the Jew. That was where the people that were half Jew, half Gentile lived. The Samaritan woman there at the well, as Jesus came to her, he said, "I must needs go through Samaria," because that woman was there, and she was neither Jew nor Gentile. She was of a mixed race, and she was looked down upon, and the Samaritans were looked down upon by everybody because of that mixture of race. But he was to go into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Even to those we hate, even to those we do not enjoy their particular ways. And then he says, unto the uttermost part of the world. And so the commission is given to us to go everywhere preaching the gospel. Well, the early church didn't do that. They went to the Jew. We'll see that in just a moment. And so the Holy Spirit came to them. And in verse number 17, Peter says, "For as much then as God gave them a like gift as he did unto us, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" Peter said, who was I that I could withstand what I saw take place and how that the Holy Spirit had come upon those Gentile believers just like he had come upon the Jewish believers? And so we find here it convinced Peter. Peter had a convincing experience in that vision of all those manner of four-footed beasts that were clean and unclean. Now God has shown him that that represented the Jew and the Gentile. And Peter said, "I saw it happen." And so he said, "Then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us." He did the same thing for those folks as he did for us. The Spirit of God came, and the Spirit of God manifested himself upon them. And he said, they came unto those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God it's on belief. Thank the Lord salvation is based upon our belief and our trust in Him as our personal Savior. And so Peter says, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God? What was I going to do? It happened, I saw it, and so therefore we must accept it. Now verse number 18 is a very encouraging verse when you study these verses. It says, when they heard these things, they is that Jew that was very contentious. When they heard the Apostle Peter give them the account of what had happened, the Bible says they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. They have come to accept on Peter's word, and those six men, they've come to accept that the Gentiles have been placed in the same position as they had been. And I love the phrasing here. The Scripture says here, then hath God also to the Gentiles, and the next two words are very important, granted repentance. You see, we repent of our sins, but it's just simply because God gives us the desire to do that. That's why we say salvation is 100% totally of God. It's not mixed with any of our works. It's not mixed with what we can do or what we can work up or how we can make it work. But if we're saved, it's because God grants us repentance. If we're saved, it's God gives us the ability to be saved. He gives us faith. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God." God grants unto us faith to believe. And if God didn't open our hearts, if God didn't awaken our spirit, we would never believe. We would never understand. We would never have knowledge because our minds are darkened. We're sinners. And the Bible says we're dead in sins and trespasses. And a dead sinner cannot respond. And a dead person does have no response. And the only way that a person can respond spiritually is that God grants unto him life and God grants unto him repentance. And he turns and he believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and he is saved because God has given him ability to believe. Now, some people say that's just too much on God for me. I think I have to have my part in it. Well, I'm sorry, we don't have any part in it. God saves us. We believe what He tells us and we exercise our faith, but our salvation is based upon what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary and that God has granted to us life eternal. Praise the Lord tonight, that's what salvation is. So in Acts chapter 11, we have the story of the contention here of the early church because the Gentiles heard the gospel and they're hearing the news that everything happened to them like it, to the Gentiles like it did unto them. And so Peter settles the question. And it's very commendable to this early church when they heard these things. The Bible says they held their peace and they glorified God. They understood they were wrong. And they immediately began to glorify the Lord because God had granted to the Gentiles repentance. And so it's very commendable to this early church when it's bound by so many prejudices and so many problems, now they are seeing what the Lord can do with a group of people that they call dogs. And now the gospel has been opened up to the Gentiles, and you and I tonight, we certainly need to be thankful for that because we are Gentiles. Now verse number 19 through 26 is the next section. This chapter has three main sections. One is the contention. Now, in this second part of the chapter, we have the continuation of the church. And the last part is the charity of the church. So let's look at the continuation of the church in verse number 19. "Now, when they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word..." They didn't all get it like we've just gone, like we've just seen here. Who are they preaching to? To the Jews only. So as they go out and scattered because of the persecution, those Jews are preaching only to Jews. Well, what they don't know is happening. The Gentiles are already in that. I want to just show you a moment here. A lot of times when we read places in the Scripture, it's hard for us to figure out what's being talked about. The area that is mentioned here in these verses, you have the country of Phoenicia, or which is known as Phoenicia. You have the island of Cyprus, modern day called Crete. And then you have the city of Antioch, which is in Syria. So this is the Mediterranean area here. Just over this way is Italy. But you're dealing with, here's Jerusalem, and there's Joppa that we've read about already. And then here is the area that's called Phoenicia. This is where they went to as they were scattered abroad from the persecution in Jerusalem. They have now been scattered from Jerusalem and they're traveling north. And they go as far as Phoenicia or Phoenicia. And they go also to Cyprus or Crete. And then you have the city of Antioch. Saul is the man that's called Saul of Tarsus. That's the city where he was from. And so all in that area there is where what we're dealing with tonight is the gospel spread from Jerusalem and spread northward through Damascus, what we know of today as Lebanon and Syria, went to the country of Phoenicia, which is known today as Syria. and traveled to Antioch and then to the island of Cyprus. Those are the three places that are mentioned here as they went out because of the persecution. Persecution has come, and Stephen has been stoned. We studied that back a few chapters back, how that Stephen was stoned to death, and there's a man by the name of Saul that held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death, and he heard all, he saw all of that, and Paul later gives testimony that he gave his regard to that and was all involved in it, and I believe it bothered Paul all of his life. And so Saul was from Saul of Tarsus. He was from that city. It's not too far from Antioch as far as on the map, and then you have this area where the Jews are scattered. And as they were scattered, they preached to the Jews only. They just hadn't got the message yet. And so the Scripture tells us here that they go abroad and they're preaching none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now here's a group of people that preached to the Gentiles. They preached to the Grecians. They were in the this portion of area was called Greece, and all of it was under the Roman rule, Roman Empire at this time. And so they go to Antioch, and the Bible here tells us that they preached unto those Grecians. They preached the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent for Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So here we find the church is still segregated. They're preaching only to the Jew, and then when they get to a particular area there in Antioch, and they preach to the Grecians. They preach to some Gentiles, and maybe had some mixture there. But in the preaching, they had power. The Bible says the hand of the Lord was on them. I'll tell you what, when the hand of the Lord's on you, you can do things that normally would not do. And as they preached the gospel, the hand of God, the Lord was upon them. Many of those Grecians believed, says a great number of them. And then when the church of Jerusalem heard about that, they sent Barnabas to investigate. They wanted to make sure, just as they wanted to make sure about Philip when he went to Samaria. They checked up to make sure those things were real. This early church, and you have to remember now, the church of Jerusalem is the first church. And if you want to call it mother church of all the others, you can do that and be right. Because out of that came all the others. And they were, when they hear that people in Antioch are getting saved. Now, I don't know how all the travel, I don't know how all the news travels so quickly, other than Antioch was a very busy place. As far as commerce, people were coming and going. It was sort of a crossroads. And as they came into Antioch, they heard that the gospel had been preached and people had been saved. And so the word came to them in Jerusalem, and so they wanted to investigate. They wanted to make sure that those things were right and that what they had been told was correct. And so they send Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was a very good person. Not a lot said about Barnabas. The Scripture, everything the Scripture says about Barnabas is always positive. It's always always good. Look at verse number 22 and verse 24. Verse 24 says, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Much people was added to the Lord." And so they send forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, Antioch is that northern city, and he came, he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. Here's a Jew going to Antioch, he's seeing what's taking place, and the gospel has been given, and the Grecians have been saved, and he sees the grace of God, he was glad. He exhorted them with purpose of heart that they should cleave unto the Lord. So Barnabas, when he got there, he began to teach them how that they should follow the Lord, and how they should stay in true to the Lord. But the Bible says that Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. That's three good things to be said about anybody. It's a wonderful thing to be said you're a good person. And then he tells us here that he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. He was a spiritual man. He understood spiritual needs, and the Bible says that he had much faith. And so Barnabas finds out that these people of Antioch are true. He commends them. He instructs them. Verse number 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek out Saul. Now, we read these chapters and these verses very easily, very quickly. And sometimes we lose the context of time. We read it like, well, this is just happening click, click, click real quickly. But it's many people, when they as they study time, and of course those that study the Scripture and they look at some time frames, many people say that probably since Saul has been saved, that's only back in the book of Acts chapter 9, just one page back, but it's probably been 6 to 8 years since that has happened. And Saul has gone back to Tarsus, his home city, and I'm sure he's there probably being instructed of the Lord. We know that Paul has already been preaching. He'd done that almost immediately after he was saved. We haven't heard anything from him for a while, and from the time of his salvation to this time, those that study the time frame say anywhere from 5 to 6, 7 years of time has elapsed. And Barnabas now goes to Tarsus from Antioch, and he goes to Tarsus, and he goes there for the purpose of seeking out Saul. Saul of Tarsus, who later, of course, we know became the Apostle Paul. And it says in verse number 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. Barnabas realized that he needed help there in the city of Antioch. He goes from Antioch to Tarsus. He gets Paul, or Saul, and he brings him back to Antioch. And the Bible says, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now here we find Saul and Barnabas. They later team up together to send the gospel to the far reaches. Barnabas goes after Saul, and they go back to Antioch, and they go there for the purpose to teach those believers in Antioch the things of the Lord. They stayed there, the Bible says, an entire year. Now, the city of Antioch is as important to the Jewish or to the Gentile believers and what takes place in the next chapters as the city of Jerusalem was to the Jews and what took place to them. Antioch becomes the focal point. It becomes the home base of the Gentile missionary endeavor of Paul and Barnabas, and then later Paul and Silas. Antioch becomes that foundational church. And the reason they could become that is because you have Saul, who has been saved for a number of years now. He has been taught, I believe, of the Lord. He later, Paul says, what I received not from a man. He said, I received it from the Lord. And I believe Paul was there in his home area, and he was studying and he was looking, and God was giving him much wisdom. And Barnabas, full of the Holy Ghost and faith and a good man. And here they go as a team down to Antioch, and they stay there at least a year, and they teach those believers. They teach the church. One of the problems that we have in many countries today is that there are believers in just about every country, but they don't have anybody to teach them. And so therefore they are left open to false ideas and false doctrine. And the devil is always there to put a counterfeit in front of them. I talked to a missionary. I think he'll probably be with us in our mission conference in March. I talked to him this past week. And he's going to Saudi Arabia. And you're not going to start a church in Saudi Arabia. That's an impossibility. Well, as far as we know, it's all things possible with God. But as far as it looks now, you cannot start an open church like we have and other places have. But you can find believers, and you can teach them. And he says, we know multiple people that have written to us through the radio, ministries that are beamed into those countries. He said, we have places that we know many Christians are there, but they have no one to teach them. So that's what Saul and Barnabas did in Antioch. They went to teach them, to ground them in the faith, and to ground them in the Word of God. And they were there for a whole year. And now, here in the middle of Antioch, and by the way, Antioch was a very wicked city. It was a city of idols. It was a city of hideous things that would take place. It was a sinful, wicked place. And here's a group of people, and they're believing, and they're trusting, and they're being taught. And the Bible says here, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now that was not a good term at that day. It was a term that was given to them because of scorn and hatred. The Roman historian, Tacitus, he makes this statement concerning the first century Christians. They are vulgar. They are morally crude. They're undeveloped. They're offensive. And they call themselves Christians. That's how the world looked at them. Very uncouth. You know what? The world still looks at Christians that way in many places. We are thought of as unlearned and out of touch. We are thought of as crazy, and we haven't really gotten to the new 21st century. We're behind time because we believe the Word of God. And that's how the world's always looked at us. And so they called those disciples at Antioch out of scorning and scourging and hatred toward us. They called them Christians. You know what the name Christian means? It means Christ-like. And out of their scorning to them, they really gave them a compliment that those disciples would be known as Christ-like. And of course, that name has stayed with us. We are Christians today. It has a total different meaning today than it did then. And they schooled the church, and now they're scorned. And because of their lifestyle, they are called Christians. And this place of Antioch hated them. But in the next few chapters, we'll find that Antioch becomes a very important church and a very important place. Now, in verse 27 through 30, and we'll quickly shut this down for the night, we see the charity of the church. You have the contention. You have the continuation of the church. Now the charity. You know, Christianity, quote unquote, has always had a better record for charity than any other group or organization in the world. Christians have always been giving people. We have different places that we give our money. We have different funds. We have different things. When the earthquake hit Haiti, thousands of dollars out of churches went to Haiti. And when people are in distress, who do they go to? They go to the church. Because we have the history of being willing to give and willing to help. Now, some of those organizations that you give to, you have to be careful because your dollar doesn't go too far. They pay too many salaries. But if we give something, we give it to a church in the location that we know it will be given out. And that's what they did here. Notice in verse 27, In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. So here's some prophets. Now, we know they're true because of what took place. They come from Jerusalem, the home base. They go to Antioch. And the Bible says here, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth or famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then these disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So here's a group of prophets come. One of them's named Agabus, and he's named once again in Acts chapter 21. He later warns Paul. This same man warns the Apostle Paul there that when he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested. So this man certainly was a prophet. He spoke in the Spirit, and he's listed here and named. And so he tells them in Antioch there's going to be a great dearth, or there's going to be a famine. It took place. It came to pass. It gives you here that it happened during Claudius Caesar. Claudius Caesar ruled, I forget what years it was, but during his rule there was a famine in the land, just like he had predicted and the prophet had been given. But we find in verse 28, 29, 30, the charity of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 28 says they stood. Verse 29 says, then the disciples, those men that were called who? Christians. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability. As he had ability, he was able to give. Some gave more than others because of their ability. But they were not stingy. They were not tight with their goods that they had. And so they determined that they were going to send relief to Judea. Now here's the Gentile sending relief to the Jews. You see, the Jews sent the message of salvation to them, and now they're turning and they're sending relief and help to the Gentiles into Judea. And these are the disciples that had helped them in their spiritual needs, and now they are repaying them for their love. And so they sent it, the Bible says here, they sent it to the elders of the church. They didn't send it to United Nations. They didn't send it to UNICEF. They didn't send it to all those other organizations. They didn't even send it to Red Cross. I believe God's people ought to spend God's money with God's people. And so many times when we help someone, we send it to a place we know it will get where it's supposed to go. The money that we sent to Haiti, the money that we've sent to many other different places around the world, we always try to find a good, reliable church that's able and willing to distribute. And this is exactly where we get that, why we do it. And the Scripture tells us here they sent relief unto the brethren which dwelt at Judea. Notice verse 30, which also they did, and sent it to the elders. To the elders, that's Jerusalem elders, by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. You see, Barnabas and Saul had already won their heart. They knew that they were real. They knew that what they had done was right. And so they take up their offering, every man as his ability was, and they determine they're going to send it to the elders of the church of Jerusalem. And so they pick out two men. And these are men that have taught them. These are men they have trusted. And they send Barnabas and Saul to Jerusalem with their offering to help them. That's the charity of the church. I'm glad it continues on even today, that we can do the same thing. You know, the 3 points tonight, the contention and continuation and the charity of the church, those things are still active today. Churches have contentions. Churches have problems because we deal with each other. We deal with people. But the way we handle it is scripturally, if we handle it right, it'll work out. If you don't handle it right, then just have more problems. But that's why we have the Bible. That's why we study the Bible. And so the Scripture gives us ways of taking care of contention. Just be honest and do those things that the Lord tells us. And then the church is continuing. It's growing. I've sort of entitled this series, The Continuing Story of the Early Church. And I believe it is a continuing story. We're seeing the development. We're seeing the growth. We're seeing the expansion of what Jesus started back there in Matthew 16, 18. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It started there in Jerusalem. Now it's spread from Jerusalem up to Antioch. And just in a couple of chapters, it's going to spread a lot farther than that. Because of these two men that are sent to Jerusalem, they come back to Antioch, and they're sent out from Antioch as those first missionaries. And we'll read that in chapter 13. We have a chapter in between that. Sort of a parenthesis next week. It gives us the persecution rest of the Apostle Peter. Some things that happened. Then chapter 13, we begin the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. Paul and Barnabas, Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, Barnabas, that faithful servant of God. And they go out and they start there at Antioch. And I'll have another map probably next week showing you that first missionary journey, or week after next, where that they went. All right, let's stand together tonight and